Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact this show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. The value of a woman, a high value woman. What is a high value woman, and why is it important to women and men. Now, it's been, you know, hearing these conversations about how people value women or how her value diminishes based on her behavior or things that happen in her life, right? So, you know, I thought I'd give it a crack, you know, on his show. So, but let me start with an old saying to get everything out the way. Saying, and I quote, "This is a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl." Unquote, James Brown. Right? So, I mean, that's in a nutshell to me, but I think it gets complicated when people have more, you know, diverse opinions and feelings you have, right? Behavior and stuff like that. So, I don't know how we got to the point of arguing the value of a woman or a man. But here we are measuring another human being by their accomplishments, failures, beauty, or flaws. I like to think that everyone is of high value, but it's not quite the case for everyone when it comes to selecting a mate. I heard on a podcast, they were talking about some women say they, well, the guy was saying they want a guy who was 666, right? So, six figures, earn six figures, at least six feet, six feet, earn six figures, and at least 6 inches, if you know what I mean, right? So, they described themselves as high-value women because they were financially successful, independent. They felt that they were beautiful, attractive people, and they were providers, right? And they were resume. And I think it was Kevin Samuels is saying that basically they describe themselves as men, and men aren't looking for that in a woman. That's not what they look for in a woman. So, therefore, the value is system is different. A man's value system is different, right? So, it also required a high value six figure man, earning at least as much as they did, or some even talked about double the amount of money they made. Some of them might have made like 50-something thousand or something like that. I don't know. You know, they're looking for this guy, you know. I wonder, is that what a high-value woman wants, a man earning six figures? They say 1% of men earn six figures, and they value what men value is, like those 1% guys, they value like or want like model type chicks, Victoria's Secret runway girls, bikini runway type women. That's what the what they call high value man is. The guy that's got that 666 thing going on. You know, he's tall, he's handsome, he's affluent, you know, got money, you know, and he's 6 inches in this holster, right? So at least 6 inches, I guess. So I said they're not looking for just any type of woman. Because some of the women, he was breaking them down, what they look like, their weight, and all that stuff. And said the guy's not looking for them. You know, you're gonna have a very difficult time trying to get one of these guys. And if you do manage to get one, it's probably not gonna be loyal, monogamous, because he has options. Right? So anyway, fortunately, we managed to select, value, and love women who have never been on a runway, and some men value those women who are short, tall, thick, heavy, young, or older, right? So people manage to find mates, love them, and value them without all of this looking like a one-way, you know, a trophy piece, right? I know, which is you know, as they say, beauty's in the eyes of the beholders. I know a brother from Africa, he thinks that American women are thin, even though I think they said there's a lot of obesity here. But what we're talking about, he talked about what men favored here is a thinner woman than what they favored, and what he favored, and his country's from Africa. So beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and value is, you know, in a individual, right? Maybe value is in the eye of the beholder, just like beauty, right? Is a single woman more valuable than a woman with a child to a man? Is she? If you had a choice, two beautiful women, one has a child, one doesn't. Both have nice personalities. They're nurturing. They're polite. You know, feminine. As you like, if you like women, everything you like in both of them. Just only difference is one has a child. And I'm not saying it's a little or a small thing. That's the difference. Because you picked the one without the child, does that buy you the other one, or does it that the situation that might be a little too much for you? You know, maybe that's what it is. Is it a matter of value? They use the word value. That they said that the one without the child is more valuable because guy gonna go for that one before he go for the one with the child. That's more challenging. You got baby daddy, and you got the kid might not like you. You know, you got to deal with all that kind of stuff. Then you got to think about your heir. You know, if you have a lot of money, you want to give that money to your heir, and you got this issue with another child in the house before you even have an heir. So, anyway, they talk about stuff like that. So it's a legitimate argument and a challenge that many men have met and many have declined, right? So, if you know, just like anything in life, if you see something you like and you decide that you don't want it, you know, don't buy it. Don't engage, right? So, but can a woman with a child know her wealth? Can she be valued? Can she be an asset to a man? Is that possible? Or she's just less of an asset than a woman without a child, right? I guess that's what they're saying, right? And I get it. That's less baggage. Got to admit it. So, because, you know, each people come with their own baggage. Now you have baggage of a child and baggage of the parent, the absentee parent, if not, you know, no longer in a relationship. I get that. Then you got family. I get it. So, of course, I had to look up the 11 traits of a high-value woman, right? And they say she knows her worth. So that could be a lot of women right there, right? A high-value woman doesn't equate her worth with her body. Okay, now that's not, that narrows it down right there, right? That's a trait of a low-value woman. She is who she is how small her waistline is, how big her butt is, how big her tits are, you know, how much attention she's getting from men and even other women, right, based on her body. So that's a low-value woman. The amount of attention she gets or sex, nor does she operate from a place of fear or neediness. Okay, no, that narrows it down right there, right? She doesn't need a relationship with a man or anyone else to get her validation. She's not saying she don't need a relationship with a man in order to have an intimate relationship. A woman needs a man, right? A man needs a woman. So she's not saying that. She don't need to be validated by a man. She doesn't let opinions or remarks of others get in the way of how she lives her life because she has self-respect. That narrows it down too, right? So when we narrow it down, it's right there. That first one right there, it's 11 of them. I'm going to try to run through them. This one here got a couple of things about it. She doesn't base her self-esteem on what people think of her. So she's not a follower, right? I said somebody mentioned something about Brianna cut her hair. And a lot of girls went to cutting their hair, you know, and stuff like that. So she's not following trends and stuff like that. She's an independent thinker, right? Her self-esteem is not predicated on what a so-called star does, right? All right? She ain't worshiping stars. Then we have, she knows this doesn't give her permission to act too good for others or create a sense of false entitlement, right? Her strong sense of self-worth is evident in how she walks, talks, dresses, her good posture, and most importantly, how she treats herself well, right? She loves and respects herself. They go into that, can spend time on her own with herself. She's good, right? And is not intimidated by the high standards she has set for herself, right? She has high standards, right? So she has a high moral ethical bar, I guess. I'm reading into that, of course. Doesn't say that, but I'm thinking that's what that means. She's not afraid to walk away from an intimate relationship with someone that does not love her in the same way she loves herself, right? She knows the level of respect she will get from others is contingent on the respect she gives herself. She respects herself, and she demands others to respect her, you know, and she's not afraid to walk away from it, right? If you can't respect her, she's outie. Stage left, right? She displays kindness to everyone she encounters. Not sassy, big mouth chick that get everybody shot up, locked up, and knocked in the head, you know, by the police. She ain't start no fights, right? High value woman, right? She isn't cold hearted, stoic, or plays too hard to get another person, right? She's not playing games with you, right? Pursues personal growth relentlessly, right? She and strives to be the best version of herself every day. See, that's good stuff right there. That sounds like a high-value woman to me, too. She believes in being well-rounded and pursues wholehearted living with a passion, always moving forward. She's always trying to grow, right? She tries to expand her knowledge base, right? Not afraid to learn something, because if you stop learning, you stop growing. Stop growing mentally, you are mentally dead, right? What can you do with that? Anyway, she is self-aware and empathic, right? Aware of the effects of her thoughts, words, and behaviors have on other people. See, she's mindful. She ain't coming in the room talking no stuff, getting people riled up. You know, you got to back out the room, run to the car and stuff, all that thing. She ain't not getting in that situation. Right? She used her words in, with respect to others and herself and her family. She's representing, right? She encourages others when she senses they need it. She accepts people as they are without needing or demanding they change. If people are who they are, you can't make them change anyway. So you're wasting your time trying to demand somebody change. By the time you get to that point, you should realize that person's not going to change. Anyway. She is grounded in maturity, right? Maturity doesn't play games or manipulate others to get what she wants. Like waiting a few days until she calls you, she texts you back, pretending to be too busy, or stringing men along for fun, are things she considers that are beneath her own value. She don't stoop that low. She ain't playing games with guys, right? She will not engage in behaviors that don't align with her values or desire. She knows that she doesn't have to follow dating rules to make herself more attractive or appear more attainable. So I'm looking at, I don't know what the dating rules are because I don't know. But I'm assuming from that there might be some rules that she got to put out. She got to show something, you know what I'm saying? She got to put on, you know, some skin tight kind of like stuff, you know, rebuild her body. She has to submit to, you know, she don't have to do things to make herself more attractive. She already knows that she is a high quality woman. She's not trying to prove to you anything, right? She is who she is, right? She will not resort to demands to get anyone to stay. She will allow the other person to leave the relationship. All right, baby. Have a nice life, right? So she's not afraid to speak her mind. She is values expressing her thoughts, right? She values expressing her thoughts, feelings, and opinions with others, even if she knows that not everyone will like it. She isn't afraid to say, nor to make clear what her boundaries are, right? She ain't no punk, either. She's not masculine, right? But she ain't no punk, right? She's no scary cat, right? Another trait is she's living a life that is in alignment with one's purpose, goals, and values. She got these values, and she's living up to them, right? She's ridiculous, right? She is not knocked down for long when setbacks and challenges come her way, right? She gets up, bam. I've seen that George Foreman, Ron Lyle fight. They were knocking each other down, getting back up. That's determined. This is right here. She like them. Strong. She's a woman, but she's strong just like a man. She get up, get knocked down. She is a woman who takes full responsibility for her happiness and well-being. So she makes a decision, and she assesses situations and takes responsibility for her part in whatever it is she does. Decisions she makes. She doesn't feel the need to seek attention from others constantly, but is comfortable in her beauty and holds herself with grace. Doesn't feel the need to compete with other women, but understands that all women are beautiful in their way and that their beauty does not take away from hers whatsoever, right? She ain't competing with Beyonce. That's the only one I know. Rihanna, who else? Halle Berry and chicks, you know, they wearing some stuff anyway that you got to be crazy to try to compete with that stuff anyway that they're wearing is outlandishly sexually provocative, right? Anyway, she takes care of herself, right? A high-value woman will not only take care of herself emotionally and spiritually, but physically too. She don't let herself go. She values her physical health, right? She values her downtime and places high importance on her self-care routine. She understands the importance of living a balanced life has a healthy respect for her limits and treats her body lovingly. All right, so she loves her body. So the things that we love, we protect, right? So she embraces her vulnerability, right? She allows herself to be transparent, right, and authentic with the people she loves, giving them the space to do the same, right? So that's number 11 right there. So who is that from? I got that from High Value Woman. That came from Regain. U.S. advice/general. I thought that was pretty tight stuff right there. So of course I had to, you know, I was wondering what's a low value woman. So I looked at medium. Right? So medium says they had like how many things they got here. I'm just going to run through them. It's about 16 low-value traits, right? It says from the powermoves.com, right? Medium, right? Low value on woman's traits, mm-hmm. right? She's always free. She picks the most expensive dishes, right? When y'all go out and expect you to pay. Take y'all young pay, you know, depending on how your wallet is, you know, a couple of hundred, whatever. I don't know. What's expensive meal nowadays? It seems like everything. Mark supermarket is expensive now. So I don't know. But you know what I'm saying, right? She wears heels. She walks poorly with them. She knows, I guess I don't know why that is. I don't see how anybody walks in heels or purpose of wearing them anyway, but women do that, and it's a hell of a stunt. She has poor English. That sounds like you're talking about a hood chick. So during the dates, she's glued to her phone. She's not paying you any attention, right? She's there with you, but she's not paying you any attention. She's got something else more important to do on her phone than to talk to you, the one who's paying for this $50 plate meal. Is that that's ghetto fabulous? Because I heard a dude say he paid $600 for a meal, Kevin Samuelson. I don't know. I had to come back and rob the place. I paid $600 for one meal. Anyway, she asks nothing about you. Well, she's glued to the phone. She ain't interested in you. Why would she be asking about you? Oh, she's rude to the servers. She's, you know. She has no hobbies, no passions, right? She is always bored, right? You got to entertain her. You know what I'm saying? She engages in social media whoring. Okay, now, they said it, not me. She doesn't care about her looks, her weight, right? She's not taking care of herself, right? She is spiteful, confrontational, always angry. Sure, we all know some of them, right? She is obsessed with appearance. Woo! Too cute, right? Not cute enough, right? She never travels and doesn't care to. She is an inveterate game player. She's all right, so you can't trust her as far as you can push the Empire State Building, right? Everything she's doing is game. Right? She sells her beauty for pittance, right? Barter sex and beauty for things. Well, me got a word for people that do that, but we're going to keep moving, right? From Alpha M, right? Who did I say that was from? Medium, yeah. That was from Medium. From Alpha M. It said, signs a sexy señorita is low value, right? Alpha M says, she has low self-esteem, no self-respect. Others can't respect her. Woo, man, that might be a low value chick. They can't respect her. Man, low self-esteem may manifest in some unamazing ways, like her cheating on you. Seek reassurance and validation. She may look for others to kiss her ASS and provide approval and attention. But if she has self-respect, she's not doing any of this. She is self-centered, not interested in anything but, right, on her phone at the when you're taking her out, right, but herself and how other things affect her. Everything is about how it affects her. Be rude and have bad manners, right? Bad habits and doesn't strive for self-improvement, diet, workout, grooming, style, relationship, or career, right? Her looks are the only thing she has going for her. That's a bad joint right there. She's good looking. She can walk down one of them runways, right? These women can also fall into unattractive habits, veneers, injections and fillers. What's that thing called? The Brazilian butt lift or something like that? That's what they're talking about. I think they do it in the breast, a silicone breast. Then they got the Botox and stuff like that. So they're talking about just people who are basically engineered, right? They fall into, that's a bad habit they could run into, trying to look like super sexy doll baby or something like that, you know. She doesn't have a plan. She's lazy. She lets others take care of her because she's pretty, right? So, you know, beauty's only skin deep. You know, the Temptations said that, to quote the Temps. I don't know who wrote that. But beauty's only skin deep, and it only gets you in the door a lot of times. But you got to do a little more than just look good to remain some places of value. Anyway, from Psychology Today, are women worthless after age 20? because, you know, we got this thing about youth and age, and it's here. Doesn't seem like we value the elderly to me or older people. You know, I'm not really talking about elderly women anyway, but because I'm just going to show you here. Women and men are valued differently, they said. What does this say about human rights? Right? It's from Psychology Today, right? Key points. The ways that men are valued compared to women signal different worth, right? Worth is another word for value, right? Society dictates that men reach their peak attractiveness around the age of 50, while a woman's peak comes and goes by the age 22. That's pretty young right there. So you 25 years old, you old maid? I don't think so. But that's what they say here in Psychology Today, right? Women's right issues are essentially human rights issues, right? Then they go on to say, for 12,000 years, the hierarchical distribution of power, privilege, and right has resolutely favored men, while entrenching a system that disrespects, oppresses, and exploits women. The notion that all lives have equal value remains aspirational. Well, like I said, you know, women are valued differently because men and women are different. So I don't know about equal value. People keep using this term about equal. Nobody, no two people are equal. No two people are exactly the same. So that equal thing, the only thing you can get is equal pay for doing the same job, right? So know that. And the men and women are quite different. So we can't. You got to look at, you look at different things with a man than you do than a woman. Anyway, inequality persists between men and women, okay? In our society, the reason that people are valued is gendered. So men are most valued for their characteristics, including honesty, morality, power, and professional achievement, whereas women are primarily valued for their physical attractiveness and their capacity to be nurturing and empathic, right? Men reach their peak attractiveness at 50. Women, excuse me, a woman's peak comes and goes by the time she reaches 18. Excuse me. By the time she reaches 18 to 22 years old, I'm going to disagree with that. 18 to 22, what are you talking about? I'm sure a lot of you disagree with that too, but I don't. How do you get to 18 to 22 years old? She ain't lived yet. She's just getting out of a mom and daddy house. 18 to 22. Anyway, worldwide women make 77 cents to every dollar earned by a man, corresponding to a lifetime of inequity and substantially greater risk of retiring in poverty, right? Movies and books from female perspective are called like chick flicks and chick lit, implying that they are something other than essential dramas or comedy. I don't know about that. Women are taught that their value comes from being very young, traditionally feminine, and able to bear children. Now, I think that has some ground right there, some anchor in actual real life. So no two people are equal, male to male, female to female, male to female. Sure, if two people are performing the same job with the same qualifications, they should earn the same amount of money. That's a no-brainer. Men desire feminine women, not masculine women. They are not looking for another man. A woman who is within her child-rearing years is a young woman. It is logical that men value and are attracted to a woman in her reproductive prime up to about 30 or 35 years, right? That makes sense. And she's looking her best around those years, right? See, that's before she starts to show signs of decline from aging, right? Typically. It seems society values youth at least in the flesh, in the clothing industry, right? According to BuzzFeed News, the average age of retirement for a Victoria's Secret model is about 28 years old. The models start their careers at about when they're still teenagers and often leave in their mid to late 20s. And they say Victoria's Secret models is older than the average model. So, that's just an example of how youth is valued. They ain't trying to sell them clothes, bikinis, or whatever they be wearing, nightgowns, or whatever, by putting them on some, I don't think Victoria's Secret have a, do they have big girls? I haven't been watching that. I've seen a couple of them. And the only ones I've seen, I haven't seen a lot of them. All the women were basically kind of like the same build. And you have like thick girls and stuff like that, right? So from Psychology Today, right? They continue, right? Are women worthless after age 20? They say women suffer from oppressive system of justice, of injustice, right? Gender inequality is the most intractable injustice of our age. Although women make up 50.8% of the U.S. population, men make up 73% of the Congress. We live in a space where predatory male sexual violence is a slap on the wrist offense, but women's agency and sexual self-determination are considered a threat so great as to justify infantilization, intimidation, discrimination, and government regulation. Infantilization, intimidation, discrimination, and government regulation. So somebody's on soapbox here, right? They have contradictory messages, right? Excuse me. Right? They talk about how the world responds to women is based on gender. Within this gender construct, there are 1,000 contradictory messages that women must negotiate every day. They are evaluated in terms of their bodies, their sexuality, yet no matter what they wear, they're in danger of asking for it, of being slut-shamed, and they're held at an unachievable standard of beauty. Then devalued for every flaw, every pound, every passing year. Now, that right there has some weight to it right there, because I just said these guys on this podcast is talking about how these guys, so-called high-value men, are looking for basically what they call trophy wives. That's like a woman that looks like Victoria's Secret runway model, one of them cheerleaders, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, one of them kind of chicks, you know, from the student room. As a girl ages, her market value decreases, and often fairly rapidly. A woman's market value is at her highest between the ages of 16 and 25, possibly up to 30, if she really takes care of herself. Y'all heard that? Market value is going down. I never even looked at it like that. Because I thought the older you get, the older the women you're going to interact with. Anyway, but it sounds like everybody's going to be, once they get to 16, between 16, which has to be this statutory age in some states, I found out the hard way. When I thought it was, I was threatening with police action and laws and stuff like that, but I didn't know the law. And I had somebody set me straight that 16 was the age of consent. So it's funny that they're talking about the highest, her value is the highest at age 16, right, which is the age of consent in some states, right, and to 25, possibly up to 30. Hmm. So women are at their most attractive to men during this term. 16? That's the, come on now. All right, I'm just going to, this is from the student. I didn't write this anyway. As a guy gets older, his market value increases. A girl ages, her market value decreases and often very rapidly. So we may not agree with this, some of the numbers, but what they're basically saying is that the woman gets older, her value decreases faster than a guy's, right? They say a woman's value highs between 16 and 25. During this range, women are in their most attractive. The men, they can rely on their looks and sexiness to attract guys and often manipulate men for their own gain. Well, that's not a high-value woman, right? If they're doing that, that's not, they're not being a high-value woman. As a woman reaches 30 and beyond, her market value rapidly decreases as she becomes less attractive to men. I didn't get the memo, but that's what they're saying. They're less attractive. Once she reaches menopause, she's finished, and no man wants her anymore. I don't know. I'm not on the, I have not been on the mental list for this information, and I must have been sleeping in class. In contrast with this, how men age and what aging means to a man's market value, a young guy in his late teens or 20s, not yet at his most attractive to women. He's still seen as a boy, not yet a man. As a man gets toward 30, his market value rapidly increases. Often he has more career and financial success too. All these traits increase his market value and therefore his attractiveness toward women. A guy in his 30s, 40s, and 50s, and sometimes even older, can still be massively attracted to women and date women who are much, much younger than himself. I'm going to take, go out on a limb and say Hugh Hefner is known to be doing stuff like that. Right? Future Zone, that's what those young girls like. They like Hugh and Hugh Cameron himself in the Playboy Mansion. So that's the way that's going down. That's their thing. Some women don't go for that, right? Some women wouldn't go for Hugh. He was, might be a little too old, right? He's pretty old right now. He's still alive. But anyway, a woman in her 30s, 40s, 50s is old, and 50 is going to find attracting a man much harder work. Now, who did I see? Angela Bassett? Who's that? Who's that plays in the wife of the Black Panther? Ain't she like 50 or something like that? Or older? I don't think she'll have a hard time. She played in Stella Got Her. She played in a movie like that where Stella got her groove back. Anyway, if you look good, you look good. That's what I'm saying. Jada Pickett's mom looks is fantastic. Her body looks better than some teenagers. Anyway, some women have the power when they're younger. But after 30, the power balance shifts rapidly and the woman loses her seductive power, whereas a man gains his power. I don't know. Somebody help me out with that. This could be true. And it could be true for some people sometimes, you know. But I don't know. This is what they're saying. Men age like fine wine. Women age like milk. It's so true, they say. So as a woman ages, she loses her ability to sexually attract men. This is why younger guys find it hard to get laid, and the girls that of age have tons of guys after them. Younger guys find it hard to get laid. I didn't get the memo. All right, I don't understand this here, so I don't get it. From iHeart. You have already peaked. The American Society for Plastic Surgeons conducted a poll to see when we reach peak attractiveness, and apparently it's in our 30s for both men and women. Women are reportedly most attractive at age 30, while men reach peak attractiveness at 38. Who are they talking about? The American Society for Plastic Surgeons. Who the hell are they talking about? Anyway, I shouldn't be saying that. From the healthyjournal.com. You might be surprised to know that your face is not actually the part of your body that ages the fastest. In fact, it's your breast. A study published by the journal Genome Biologists found that the breast tissue is the part of the body that most sensitive to the effects of aging. While women with subjectively higher body counts are frequently looked down upon or shamed for their choices, right? This is from www.airdroid.com, teen slang body count meaning, right? As noted, this is another issue they talked about the value of a woman. Okay, we got time. Just watching my time here. Talked about, as noted, a high body count indicates that someone has had a lot of sexual partners. It could mean they are less likely to be monogamous, which is not good for a relationship. Additionally, someone with a high body count may be more likely to have STDs, right? Because they come in contact with more people, right? But caution to, don't caution to the wind. Anybody can have an STD with a high or low body count. High numbers increase the risk or the times you take a risk with different sexual partners, right? All it takes is one, right? Anyway, back to the article. Body count meaning in relationship. Body count can refer to the number of people each person has had sex with, right? The body count is a term often used for sexual encounters. The term was often used about men, right? But trust me, it's used for both men and women. From the healthyjournal.com. What's the average body count for a woman? What is an acceptable body count for a woman? The answer is the average number of sexual partners in general is anywhere between 4 and 8 for a woman. From the healthjournal.com, right? Also, right? How many partners is too many for women? Our female respondents said they perceive the threshold for being too promiscuous, having too many partners, is 15.2. How do you have sex with 0.2 of anything? I don't understand that. Anyway, so we're going to call that 15, right? While men consider 14 the defining number when it comes to promiscuity, right? On the other end of the spectrum, men believe 2.3 partners is too conservative. And women think 1.9 is the threshold for too few. I never heard anybody say that a person has too few sexual partners. This is some new world stuff for me. And I'm learning as I do this show, as you can see. Because I've never heard anything like that before in my life. Oddly enough, no one in this survey values or favors a very low body count. How can you have sex with 2.3 people or point anybody? I heard a man on a broadcast state that he preferred a virgin to a non-virgin for marriage. That used to be the prevailing tradition. Maybe men only thought it was the prevailing tradition. You know, you never know. What is too high of a body count? The study done by Superdrug found that for men and women, the ideal number of partners is around 7.5. Above 14 or 15 was too many, and below 2 or 3 was too low. Again, somebody need to help me out with that. Anybody else ever hear you don't have enough sexual partners, whoever? I've never heard of nothing like that. Below 2 or 3 is too low. Too low for what? What is the what is a first? You know, that's a first for me. I never heard of that before. I keep saying it. I don't. Anybody heard of that before? It's like the people in the study preferred sexual partners who had sex at least with at least two or three partners. You know, I'd rather you have somebody need to break your, they rather somebody else break their chick in or their guy in. Somebody, two or three people break their person of interest in. Excuse me. Somebody break them in for them. I don't get that. I thought people didn't like going behind other people like that. But that's like wanting or preferring your woman to have had sex with more than two or three somebodies before you because she hasn't schooled enough men with just a body count of two or three. That doesn't make sense. If you're going to send her back, I don't get that. Because whatever experience you can have together. So that makes no sense. I don't understand the logic. Is this just some new world logic right there? Anyway, above 14 or 15 is too many. Too many for what? Marriage? A serious girlfriend? To trust her? To value her body or sex with her? Or to parade her around on a moral pedestal? To have sex with her? What is it too many for? 14 or 15. Fact is, you will never know how many men a woman has had sex with. The only person who knows that is the woman, assuming she can and does count her sexual partners. You're never going to know that. How many guys has the average girl slept with? Next to sleep survey, right? Americans to discover how many sexual partners they had before settling down. The average number for people who identify as men was 26. The average number for people who identify as women was 19. So already, according to this survey, right, of the people they survey, they are above the 14, 15 sexual partners of limit, according to the people they surveyed, right? But other studies have shown that people often lie about their number. So, and you know, I don't know. Is it true that do guys lie up and girls lie down? Like, do guys increase the number of people lie, say they slept with more people than they did, so they, you know, feel like they the stud or something? And do women lie and say, you know, they slept with 20, they say 10? I don't know. Some people will tell you exactly who they, how many people they slept with. Some people will tell you that. Step off and you're trying to find out how many people they slept with. Who are you? Why are you asking that? Come with how many people you slept with first. You know, so anyway, a woman once told me that whatever number a woman gives for her body count, multiply it by two. Just thought I'd throw that out there. How do you know my body count? Well, I mean, I'm going to tell you, just count the people you actually had sex with, right? A female friend of mine informed me that some women don't count oral sex as a sexual encounter and prefer it to losing their vaginal virginity. I'm thinking that goes for anal sex also, any form of penetration, you know. So it's still sex if you're being penetrated, all right? So, you know, you're not increasing your value. You're not saving in your value anything. Like, then you'll tell a guy, that's not going to work. Just put it that way. I don't know if you guys are going to feel better about that. I don't see it. Does body count matter to a guy? Researchers say it matters, even if you say it doesn't, until you know the exact figure. Right? The study found that people want a mate with a bit of a pad, but not too much. That sounds like I want my mate to have like been in sexual relations with two or three people, right? The more your number, the less attractive you are. So the more your number, the less valuable you are, right? So, people want to mate with a bit of a pass, or they accept to mate with a bit of a pass. Which is it? But it sounds like they actually want to mate. They say they want her to have some experience, and they don't want to experience it where they don't want to experiment with their mate. It doesn't make sense to me. But who am I? I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen. Just the guy on a radio show, right? So, there's a difference between a bit of accepting of somebody with a bit of a past and wanting somebody with a bit of a past. So you want somebody to have had sex with your mate, and accepting that they have had sex. There's a difference, right? With all the sexual activity going on, I'd say it is next to impossible to find a virgin past high school or college. After all, with all these promiscuous men, there has to be some promiscuous women. Body count must count because it is customary to insult a woman by calling her a whore. Rather, that is the particular reason you would be calling her a whore or not. And yes, body count does matter to some men, even to some of the men who accept women with large body counts or body counts that are large to them, right? Because 5 might be large to somebody, 10 might be large to somebody else, right? And somebody said 15, right? So it is what it is, and sometimes you can't help who you love, something like that. You know, you like somebody, you know, hell, they've been around. They've been around the block. That person you just happen to like. Some men do not tolerate or accept women with a large body count, right? Some men prefer virgins, right? I totally get it. Good luck with that. How do you ask a girl her body count, right? This was an interesting topic. Like, how do you ask her about her body count? So they said you should thank your partner for opening up about the number. And if you both feel comfortable talking more about it, go for it. So already we see that this is an issue. Because you don't have that kind of conversation about something. You say hello. You don't go through all that. How you doing today? How was your day? You don't go through none of this. You don't have to open up about nothing. You just, hey, how was your day, right? But this is an issue for a woman and for a man. So the woman issue could come from the fact that she knows that the man may have a problem with it, or someone else may have a problem with her sexuality, right? So we get that, right? They say try not to focus on the numbers so much, and instead just stay curious, and you'll come to better understand your partner and his sexuality. You might learn a lot about them. Well, why tiptoe around the issue? You ask how many people somebody been with, that's just a number. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, right? 45, 50, right? On up to 100, 200, whatever. Wilt Chamberlain did 1,000, right? Look. It's a very simple question about a very sometimes difficult subject for people, right? They don't want to be judged. They may like you. And when they know, when you ask that question, they know, oh, that body count means something. If it didn't mean nothing, you ain't going to need that. I don't care how many people you slept with. My turn, right? You're not worried about that. But people are concerned about that and on relationships. And they don't have to be in love. They just might not want to sleep with a person that's been with a lot of people. Right, for reasons that I just previously mentioned. A mischievous person might have slept with about 100 people who slept with 100 people each, and you don't know what they might have ran into, right? So you might don't want to take that chance. I get it. I totally get it. So if it's not an issue, it shouldn't be an issue asking a female about her body count. If a female says it's not an issue, it shouldn't be an issue. I saw it on another podcast. The lady didn't want to say where her body count was because she knew the men, she assumed, right, or anticipated the guys on the panel are ridiculing her for sleeping with a lot of people. But if you don't think there's nothing wrong with it, what is the problem? Stand up for yourself. You know, you think that that's okay, say it. I slept with 50 guys, 25 guys. You did it, right? And you think, if you think it is something wrong with it and you did it, I think it's best to keep your mouth shut. Because you don't really owe them nothing. Somebody asking your body count, who is it? You know what I'm saying? Maybe somebody that you might be, you know, seriously, you know, getting involved with. You might as well just get that out the way, that body count thing, see if he really want to be with you. Because that might be the telltale tape if he's going to even be with you. Just you saying, giving him your body count. So, get it over with. You know, I say, as someone told me, a friend of mine, said, just enjoy the time you have with her. You're probably going to break up anyway. That, you know, that's what I thought about. You know, anybody going through all these changes, how many people you've been, why are you getting so deep in somebody's business and you're not going to be, you're going to come smash and leave them, right? Because they probably going to break up anyway. Why I said that? Because from dating, love to know.com said, the average romantic relationship span for a 12 to 14-year-old is 5 months. For a 15 to 16-year-old, 2 years longer. For young adults, 20s have longer-lasting relationships. These relationships can last up to 4 years or slightly longer. Up to. That don't mean they last 4 years. That don't mean they last, 15 to 16 last 2 years. They stay together for 2 years, right? They often stay together for 2 years, not anybody, right? Anyway, they did not include all the non-committed smashing that is going on in their survey, right? Remember, some people are committed to being polyamorous or non-monogamous, right? Polyamorous is characterized by or involved in the practice of engaging in multiple romantic and typically sexual relationships with the consent of all people involved, right? Funny examples they had of that, they had the, say there's three people, two guys and a woman, they had them together. I'm assuming that you don't all have to be under the same roof to do that, right? And, you know, monogamous is, you know, it's open, non-monogamous relationship, one where partners agree that they want to be with together and are open and honest about the fact that they have other sexual partners, right? So, here, the value system includes having more than one sexual partner, right? The question is, will a woman in such a relationship be devalued, and by who? Because, like I said, I saw pictures that it was one woman, two guys. They value, are they there because they value that woman, or are they there because they devalue that woman? You know what I'm saying? What's happening here? You know, I'm gonna go on a limb and say they value her. They're in a relationship with her, right? They having this polyamorous relationship, right? Anybody, you know? So, I don't know. I don't know what's, you never know what's in somebody's heart. Fact is, there's always a chance that you're in a relationship with someone who devalues you because of your sexual activity or something else. Maybe your weight, maybe your income, maybe your attitude, maybe something, your feet size. I don't know, maybe you got big feet. I don't know. They, you know, people always find something to devalue you. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, just because someone devalues a woman, right, sexual behavior or body count, weight, self-centeredness, unmotivated ness, or et cetera, does not mean that a man will not devour her sexually. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, just because, you know, people agree to things doesn't mean that they respect you and things like that. They just, they there for what you agree to, some of them. Sometimes people get caught up, right? They might have started out being there for that. And then they get caught up in it. Now they're in a serious relationship. So I would imagine that with them becoming, sometimes people becoming serious, they don't want to share. A lot of times guys don't want to share a woman. Women don't want to share a man. You know, when they get closer to them, right? More closer. So anyway, this is the average length of a relationship before marriage, right? From brides.com. Most people's, they say most couples date for two or more years before getting engaged, and many dating anywhere from 2 to 5 years. One question is popped. Once the question is popped, the average length of engagement is between 12 and 18 months. So you got like, I got 5 to 6 years or 6.5 years or something like that. So anyway, at the most, anyway. From RX breakup, right? While most couples break up after 1 or 2 years of dating, they say, right? Did you know that 70% of straight unmarried couples break up within the first year? That's 70% of straight unmarried couples break up the first year. All right, so that was a study by Stanford sociologist Michael Rosenfield, right? Which is, I'm saying this because people going into this body, you worry about somebody's body count. You ain't even, you there, you only there for a flash. You're not even there long enough for them to remember you. Like, in these relationships, let's say 1 to 2 years of dating. You ain't been there long enough to be taken serious. Benefits of knowing somebody's body count before dating, they said, right? Okay, there's certain benefits you get when you know somebody's body count. So, but you think the body count is not important? You have to deal with reality. People value a body count. You gotta understand that. People value that. Hold on for 1 minute. They say the benefits of knowing. It can help you gauge their level of sexual experience and help you make informed decisions about your sexual activity with them. I guess that means if you want to do it or not. So anyway, knowing your partner's body count can help you better understand their sexual health history and ensure that you are on the same page about sexual safety. Besides that, there are all other benefits of knowing someone's body count. Gauge whether your relationship is moving too fast. It helps you identify red flags early on. Helps you avoid getting attached to someone who is not right for you. You got a player. You got a player for life, male or female. you're talking about women here, you know, that's kind of hard right there. You got a woman that she can't leave other men alone. You breaking up phones, smashing on, what do you call them things? I don't even have them no more anyway. But, you know, you get in arguments about other people and stuff like that. That's a sign that the person not for you. Because if they were for you, you wouldn't be having that conversation with them. Because for you means more than sleeping with you. It means you guys share the same ideas about what a relationship is and what kind of relationship you're in. And if you're not sharing that, then you have conflict. So as those guys say, they don't value a woman. They value a woman who hasn't been with men more than they value one that has, more than they value one that has been with many men. And many to some people is more than one. Some, one hand, I heard these people say one hand, you count on one hand. Heard that. Two hands, 2 feet, you know, that's 20. That's over the limit right there that these guys got. Anyway, you protect yourself from heartbreak, right? Knowing what they do. So it makes sense. So you value that because it says what kind of person you're dealing with in terms of sharing their body. And like I say, when people like somebody, they tend to not want to share them with other people. I get all that. That's why you should establish all of that in the relationship before you guys start galloping off into the sun, you know, like you in love, and love is going to solve all your problems. Whatever comes, you got to communicate, right? Somebody told me life is full of complications, but communication is key. So that's one of the keys. So the person may bail on you when you need them, right? They're trying to say the person that's promiscuous is undependable. So they may bail on you, or they may not be available. They found the next interesting person, the next bus, they off you. Getting on the next bus, going another direction. Won't be there when you need them, right? Well, they with somebody else, they won't. That's a fact. You make better decisions about whom you date and enter a relationship with, right? I'm trying to see who. Body count. You just can't go around asking people. I think that's an insult to her. Even if she could be the biggest whore in the neighborhood, you can be asking how many people she slept with. That's not. They're going to tell you it's none of your business. Not even going to feel like, you know, you need to leave. You try to get some, but you think I'm a whore. Exit stage left, right? I don't know. From CNYfertility.com, a woman at 30 often has around 100,000 to 150,000 eggs in reserve. By 35, that number is likely around 80,000. Late into the 30s, that number could be 25,000, 10,000 or fewer. So why are we saying this? Because we're talking about value of a woman. To the man wants to have a family, he needs a woman who can produce one, right? As I said in the beginning, it's a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl. And this is why. I said, the peak number of eggs in a woman ever has takes place at about 20 weeks of gestation in the womb of the mother, right? Before they are born and still inside their mother's womb, right? At that point, they roughly have 6.8 million eggs. No new eggs will ever be made from this point on, right? Going back to the beginning of why they may value youth, right? Not only is it the signs of aging are not apparent on a woman, which makes her more attractive, right? Because for some reason, people don't appear to value older people in this culture anyway. I don't see the value in anything like that. Anyway, aging cells are constantly degenerating and go through a cell death process known as atresia, right? The number of eggs that leave the waiting pool each day is highly dependent upon the age of the woman. Highly dependent on the age of the woman. The peak reproductive years, roughly 30 to 40 eggs, will leave this waiting pool and start to develop each day, 1,000 a month, or these only one-tenth or up, excuse me, of these only one-tenth will enter the menstrual cycle, and typically only one egg is developed fully and ovulated, right? So that's the whole thing about getting a woman pregnant. It seems like it's not an easy issue, not easy as we think it is, even though it happens, right? A woman goes through roughly 300,000, 400,000 eggs in their reproductive years, but only ovulates 300, 400 eggs. The average woman runs out of eggs and starts menopause around the age of 52. So trying to start a family, this 52-year-old woman is not of value to you. A 42-year-old woman, it might not be of value to you either because, as I said, up to 30, maybe 35, right? Best time to have a baby, right? As a woman ages, both her egg quality and quality generally decline. So that a woman's egg quality may support why youth is favored over age and of a more mature woman past her reproductive prime, right? That may explain that. That does not mean that men not find women over 35 or 40 years old attractive. It does mean that older women sometimes compete against younger women for men. Everyone is competing. Younger gets younger, older gets older, older gets younger. It's a competition out there if you want to look at it like that. In that way, the median age of a stripper is between 23 and 24 and not 35 and 45, right? Her prime, right? That's prime age right there, 23, 24. She's never going to be more prettier than she is a 23, 24-year-old. I'm not saying absolutely that. I'm just saying being figurative. From Medical News Today, there is no right age to have a baby that works for everyone. Women are typically able to have children from adolescence through menopause. But when it's over, right? After menopause is over. Healthline. Healthline's experts say the best time to get pregnant is between late 20s to the early 30s. All right? So you're talking about a man looking for an heir. He's not going to be looking for an old woman, right? So that might be some of the reason why a younger woman is valued, because she can produce those children, right? She's not been affected by the signs of aging, right? The ideal age to give birth to a child is 30.5. I don't know where you're getting this point stuff from. Once a woman turns 35, there's an increase in certain pregnancy risks, such as premature birth, low birth weight of the baby, stillbirth or miscarriage, necessity for a C-section, high blood pressure, gestational diabetes, placenta previa, eclaptisma, I don't know what that is, bleeding heavy post-delivery, chromosome issues like Down syndrome, right? So that means the older she gets, the more difficult and risky to conceive and deliver, right? And not everyone wants a child, but if you want a healthy child, and mother, it helps to do it before age 35. Excuse me, I'm choking. About 8 minutes left. Women are typically able to have children from adolescence to menopause, while men are fertile well into their 60s and 70s. Maybe younger women became more valuable during a period of living off the land in a time where having a large family was necessary to maintain the land, the animals, both four and two-legged, right? Women appear to be to lose reproductive value sooner than the men. So maybe that's how that whole thing gets into how they're looking at women with the values. From Science Daily, male and female interviewers scored the attractiveness of interviewees of both genders, right? They said female interviewers would judge both men and women with higher BMIs as less attractive, with people with heavy, a lot of fat, right? Men would judge their fellow gender much less harshly, right? When it comes to beauty, being an overweight woman is judged negatively by both sexes, where men are a lot more forgiving towards each other. What's that all about? While being overweight has been shown to negatively affect your attractiveness regardless of gender, women face more scrutiny in this respect than men. They had a 2016 study from the University of Surrey in the UK, right? So, a woman's dating value is not the same as her personal value or the value of her life. All life is precious. If you meet the right man or woman, that relationship can be precious and invaluable. The value of a woman may differ from man to man, woman to woman. Know that these standards exist both for men, accepting or not accepting of a body count, obesity, and woman not concerned about a body count or obesity. You got these standards, right? People know about them and they don't care about them. People know about them and do care about them, right? Put as much time in selecting your sexual partner or life mate as you do in selecting and caring for your clothing, your jewelry, your sneakers, and cars, and you might be on to something. I like to think that a moral and ethical standard needs to be raised from the dirt. Maybe then we can move forward valuing one another's presence, time, bodies, and souls. We need each other, but a nation divided cannot stand. Remember, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And well, before I go, anybody want to say anything? Now is your time, because I only have like 6 minutes. So I think that what we need is to understand that some people, you know, the moral of the story is some people don't value certain behaviors. But that's life. I mean, we see that. You know, you go to some people of some people's countries, you can't do certain things. They don't value that, right? And it is a degrading thing for you to do it, right? Promiscuity, obesity, or you know, I seen a runway where they had some obese women coming out in bikinis or something like that. Well, the big girls, I don't know what you call them. We call them obese, whatever. They didn't look like the other chicks. They were pretty big. They wasn't curvy. They were big girls. So they were cute and everything like that, you know, but they wasn't tight, you know, and they had a little, you know, big girls, you know. But I think the who's to say that? I think the message they're sending out is they are valued too, and they, you know, that's why they let them walk down the walk down the runway, and saying, hey, look, this, I'm beautiful too, and I bet you she got a boyfriend somewhere. Somebody is waiting for her to come home, right? Or jealous she walking down there half naked down the runway. So you know. Be aware that people don't what people's standards are when you're trying to have these relationships. But women are invaluable to men. That's the my bottom line. Same way I open up. Quote: this is a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl. And with that, I'm gonna, you know, end the show. I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, all my callers and listeners. To each of you, appreciate you tuning into the show, and feel free to press the number one to give us your ideas, share your ideas and your thoughts, because your information is greatly appreciated on this show. All right, we don't have to fight; we just gotta listen to each other. Till next week, y'all. Each one teach one, each one reach one. Good night.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.